I would like to read two scriptures before we pray, the one from the Old and the other from the New Testament, from Isaiah 54, from verse 15, Isaiah 54, from verse 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. From Hebrews chapter 2, from verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. Let us stand up and worship. Heavenly Father, we come consciously before your throne of grace to lay before you this service, to consecrate ourselves to you, to ask you for mercy. Give grace to speak, give grace to hear, grace of being led and guided by your Spirit. Come to your right. Be today the one who speaks and the one who works in our midst. Almighty God, who you have ways and means to direct the hearts like rivers of water, we pray you, do it today. Then we have petitions, O God, of severe kind. Our brothers and sisters who were hit by some kind of trials of various kinds in the soul, in the spirit, in the body. Lord, you know who we mean. You know who they are and where they stay. Together we ask you now that you stretch forth thine arm, that you don't let anyone be put to shame who puts his trust in you, and those who can do it no more, for them we intercede now and pray for them to pull them away from Satan and out of darkness, and to present them before you. You, O Lord, you defeated Satan, you bruised the head of the serpent, you have set the captives free. Yes, you have taken captivity captive. You totally redeemed us. We thank you for it with all our heart. Faithful Savior, have thine own way with us. Make us now still in your holy presence, that your word, that is quick and powerful, could penetrate into our hearts. The everyday life, with all its sorrows and troubles, take it away from us, O Lord, and be merciful to us, for your holy name's sake. We pray for all who are here and for all who could not come. Faithful God, give us today new courage to look up to you. Strengthen, establish and settle. Give new courage and confidence there where revelation is missing. Give it. Save the lost. Heal the sick and set the captives free. Glorify thy name and confirm thy word. May today happen under the preaching that people are joined with you, that they come into fellowship with you and are revived and strengthened. To you, the Almighty God, we trust you. We thank you, for you will bring it to pass. Blessed and praised be thy holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This now has reminded me on our beloved brother Lauma, who is already with the Lord, and there are so precious memories which we have from all these years, shared experiences with God, shared word observations. Together we may by grace look into the secret thoughts of our God. Today I will speak about the subject that God has sent prophets to fulfill a certain purpose. We will briefly go into it and read some scriptures to it. I begin with Amos chapter 3, the well-known word, and I hope that the observation today will overwhelm also the last one in our midst, and that the last one gets clarity from the Word of God and gives up any inner resistance and embraces that what God has done, saying yes, going with, namely from clarity to clarity and from knowledge to knowledge. We begin with Amos 3, verse 6 to 8, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? A well-known word that Brother Branham has used many times to illuminate his sending, for which he could not do anything, to which he didn't contribute anything, to illuminate it from the scripture and to show us that God always, when he planned certain things on earth, he sent a prophet to give to the people the possibility to make their decision, giving them the opportunity to believe God and to thus go justified from time into eternity. Let us come straight away to Genesis. Genesis chapter 9, maybe even the last verses from chapter 8. Here it says, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. In this connection, I would like to read also from chapter 6, verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Men of God did not have any own plans. They became a part of God's plan in their time. By divine revelation, by the inspiration of the Spirit, by visions, they have been shown by God what it is about. The flood could not come unless God gave a warning through a prophet, giving a last warning to mankind, so that they later on have no excuse. Listen, every time when God made history in the plan of salvation on earth, he has sent one of his servants and prophets, one who represented him here on earth, to make known his word here on earth. We all are acquainted with the calling of Abraham. He was a prophet. In Genesis 18, verse 17, it says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I intend to do? God couldn't do it. Because Abraham was a prophet, he had to come to the prophet to reveal the secret that it was actually about. Let us go further to Moses. When the time of fulfillment came, that God wanted to deliver Israel, he appeared unto Moses in the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3. You can all read the whole chapter. I read here from verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord was up to something. Maybe he could have done it himself, but from the very beginning, he has taken people to work with him. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, as co-workers with Christ, we admonish you as stewards of the manifold mercies of God. God has included people through whom he can speak, through whom he can work, people who have left a living testimony, people on whom God could rely. I read on from Exodus, chapter 20, when the Lord gave the law and spoke with these people who were involved and to whom he made known his word and his will on the mountain. The Lord seeks people to whom he can speak, people who receive his word seriously and who also do then accordingly by his grace. I'm looking for a word in the Holy Scripture, namely from Exodus chapter 12. Here we find for the first time the term church. Verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel. And then come the instructions. And now we come to a point which I would like to emphasize today. The care of God for his people. God cares. There is a sermon of Brother Branham. He cares. Do you care? God cares. I read here from Exodus 12, verse 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Rameses to Sukkot, about 600,000 on foot, that were men, beside children. I want to show you from the Word of God, as soon as the Lord begins to work and sends a prophet, he takes care for food and drink. Then he cares for all his people that he has called out. You may probably ask, what shall now come? The following shall come. That God took care for such a multitude 40 years daily. There no truck had to drive up. No groceries needed to be delivered. I looked it up. Some clever man calculated for this multitude that 250 trucks would have been needed daily to feed this multitude. 600,000 men, not counting all the women and all the children. 1.5 million will hardly be enough. Consider this, you housewives, what commissions you make and bring home for 2-3 persons. There, such a multitude, in the midst of the wilderness, the Almighty God opened the windows of heaven and fed daily such a multitude of people. What do we learn from it? That God has taken the responsibility for us, provided we hear His call and are led out. Then God gives manna to His people. He looks after us. Here the thought came to me, oh, what did God give us in the course of the years on word, on the hidden manna? By His grace He gave us so much. What in no other age happened, this happens now under the prophetic message. Fresh, living manna, daily revealed by God. This God has prepared for His people. So, we learn from it to appreciate the faithfulness of God towards His people. He does not leave us alone. When food was needed, He let it come. When drink was needed, He has split a rock. And he who reads in 1 Corinthians 10 will find out that the rock which accompanied Israel was Christ Himself. He didn't only care, He was present. He has taken care. And I believe we can say the same. In the midst of a spiritual famine, in a drought, we may experience what the prophet Hosea has said. The days will come where the people will have a hunger, but not a hunger for bread or a thirst for water, but a hunger to hear the word of the Lord. I believe these are the days of which the prophets have spoken. A hunger for the pure, true word of God. Hear me. When God led out His people through Moses at that time, He has taken care for it, that all who killed the lamb and who were obedient and went out, they did not lack anything. God took care of them. The same we can say in these days. No one who trusts the Lord and who obeys Him and walks on the way of God will be put to shame. Quite the contrary. On the way of God, we will see the miracles of God, the longer the more, because there our trust towards Him increases, and the union and fellowship with Him gets deeper and more glorious. There is also a scripture in Nehemiah, in chapter 9, verse 19. Nehemiah 9, verse 19. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. What a wonderful word. It's about that God does not leave his own, who hear his call, who follow him, who can be led out. He does not leave them, nor forsake them. Be very honest now. How many can believe straight away that people right in the wilderness did not walk on a prepared way or on a pavement, but who walked across country 40 years having the same shoes on, wearing the same suit, the same dress, and nothing is worn out, nothing waxed old? Is this not a miracle? God can do all things, whether earthy, whether spiritual. If he wants it, then it happens. When did it happen? With whom did it happen? With the redeemed of the Lord. With them who heard the prophetic message, who recognized the hour of their divine visitation. I tell you, I appreciated the whole thing with more gratitude, which God does in our days. And we all should become more grateful. Let us come to more scriptures. 2 Chronicles, chapter 18, a well-known word to us. There was Micah, a prophet of the Lord, but there was also Jehoshaphat, a God-fearing king, the king of Judah. When 400 prophesied, he did not trust them and asked, "Is there still not one through whom we can ask the Lord?" You all can read this in chapter 18. I will come in a moment to chapter 20, verse 5. Here it says, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and prayed, 'O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?'" Amen. "And none is able to withstand thee." Jehoshaphat experienced it. He had an inner resistance when the 400 prophets prophesied, over whom a lying spirit has come. And Jehoshaphat could not agree with it and asked then Ahab that he should say if there was not another prophet there, a prophet of the Lord who has the word of God, not an idea, not an opinion, not an interpretation, but the word of the Lord by revelation. Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. We don't want a false comfort. We don't want to be fooled. And this in a most pious way. We have, as the people of God, the right to hear the true word of God. And we know the true word of God can only be preached by the true servants to whom it was revealed. It continues here in verse 14. "Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Yeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Hallelujah, praise God. Against whom did we want to fight? Where would we start? Where would we end? Every time when a thus saith the Lord comes, then it goes through our marrow and bone. It says here, Thus saith the Lord unto you. Today God speaks to us, and the revealed word is the Thus saith the Lord, from A to Z. It is the testimony of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The promises of God for our days were revealed in it, and for this we are grateful. Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. If one sees the many evangelists and the multitude which surrounds them, and then the little flock and his own humble self, their trembling and hesitation could come. But in the next moment we know that we do not stand alone, but that God is with his own, and that it is him who goes ahead in the battle. He didn't lose any battle yet, and he will not lose anyone. Our Lord is the great victor of Calvary. Him we may trust with all our heart. For we understood that it's not us who fight, but that the Lord fights. He has written more. I read briefly the last portion again. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. Stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, praise God. Here nobody can come and say, I brought the victory. We watch, but we take our position in reverence before the living God, and watch by faith. Faith is a substance, being sure, a being convinced of things not seen, but which one sees already by faith and in the Spirit. A person who trusts in God and who receives the promise that he leads the way in the battle, for such a person it will not be difficult to believe that God has won the victory already. Amen. Amen. A person who receives the promise from God, I go before you, I will fight for you. Yes, here we can already raise our hands and say, faithful God, thank you for the mighty victory that you have given us already by your grace. This is the trust that has to become great in us in these days. I say it once again, if one sees and hears so many and looks at the masses, then one could be afraid and worry. But very deep in the heart, a self-examination takes place. One takes the Holy Scripture and says, Lord, where do I stand? Where do I walk? What is the spiritual condition of the church? And so forth. One thing we may gratefully say with full certainty, God has revealed His word and will unto us. Yes, we may sing, Thou hast revealed Thyself unto me in great love. The revelation of Jesus Christ can nowhere be heard and found. And thereby we know that God has loved us, and that we believe His word with all our heart. And He says, I will also love you and reveal Myself unto you. If the Lord cannot reveal Himself to a person as the one who He really is, then there is a justified question whether people have met Him, whether they really met Him. I was shocked when this man, who is partly of Jewish and partly of Italian origin, when he made himself a hobby out of it, to crystallize the three persons within the Godhead, and then to thank everyone in turn. Oh, what went on there in my heart? One saw, one heard, that the mind, the reasoning, wants to master the things. How grateful we can be that we learned it, not to approach God and spiritual things with the mind and reasoning, but to step upon the divine ground of revelation. And here we are like Moses. Take off your shoes, for the ground on which you stand is holy ground. Let us read on. Here in verse 17, second part. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. We will come in a moment to a very wonderful word. For the Lord will be with you. If He is with us, everything goes well. Even in the darkest valley, everything turns for the good. And in the midst of darkness, the light comes to us. Now I read 2 Chronicles 20, from verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper. Amen. Also, this is God's holy word. Not a prophet, believe his prophets, men of God, who have become a mouthpiece of God, who really have nothing of their own to present. Believe in the Lord your God. Let me say here the following. If we really put all our trust in the Lord God, then we will come to know when he sends a prophet and will receive the word and the message that he brings with all our heart. There all the scholars of the country may come and say, beware of the false prophets. And there we can agree with them with a strong amen and just say, the same we wish you also. And we can only say, beware of the false prophets. But where is it written, beware of the true prophets? This is not written. Of the true prophets it is written, I read it, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Here somebody may say, is this not dangerous? Not at all. Dangerous it is to trust the scribes and the Pharisees and the self-appointed preachers, but not a prophet sent and set by God, who was confirmed, who was legitimized by him. Him we can believe. For the Lord said, I will send unto you prophets. Of them some you will kill, and others you will persecute. Oh yes, we agree with those who warn. And we can say clear and loud, beware of all the false prophets. In the same way, we can say that God promised to send a prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And there are then the false prophets who come and say, oh, be careful, oh, beware, and so forth. No, we can. And this we don't say out of arrogance, but we can, by his grace, discern. Now somebody may say, why can't the others discern? The discernment is not in you and not in me and not in the others. The measuring rod is the word of God. And I can show you the following from the Holy Scripture. Even if prophets announce something, but then present other gods, then God only wants to test us whether we believe him, the only true God. Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13 from verse 1. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. On which scripture does this remind us? On Revelation 22, that we shall not add to the words of the prophecy of this book, and that we may take nothing away from it. Verse 2 it says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Did you hear? Let us serve other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proves you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Also here, we have a key scripture, because it doesn't say, and ye shall walk after a prophet. I read it again. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. True prophets have no followers. True prophets prepare the way for the Lord, and people come to follow the Lord. Is that right? Amen. Amen. I can tell you who has followers. The false prophets, they have followers. The true prophets bring the people in connection with God. But we see here the warning that even when signs and wonders are announced, and they even come to pass, then this is a test. And I tell you, if one watches there in a meeting in which actually nothing happened, but yet it was reported of some things, and then the question comes up, what do people aim to achieve with it? Namely, the one, that one looks up to them, and they of course present themselves as being men sent from God. No, a true prophet of God will do as John the Baptist has done, and other men of God, they will bring people to follow the Lord, and they will proclaim the word of God in truthfulness. I am grateful to the Lord that the many examples in the Holy Scripture were recorded so that we can discern today. You are all acquainted with Matthew 7 from verse 21. There it is written, on that day many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have we not in thy name? And then a whole register is listed. And the Lord says, I don't know you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And then we come to that what Paul and Peter have set forth in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here the general situation of the last days is described. And then it says from verse 7, 2 Timothy 3, from verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Jannes and Jambres came on the scene there where Moses, the prophet of God, came on the scene. There, where the genuine was brought, also the false ones came on the scene. And one has to experience this once personally to be able to put yourself into this time. The key word here is, now as then, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Not even against the man, for they came to know when he brought the truth, and as it was confirmed by God himself, they just ignored it. The truth about the Godhead, about water baptism, about Lord's Supper. As a matter of fact, every fundamental truths of the Holy Scripture they ignored and denied. And they preach a gospel at which every listener's ears are itching. One could almost watch how they move their fingers, for it is itchy and they have to help out a bit. And then, when the word is preached in truth and one just says a little bit, then they point to signs and wonders. Some will still wonder and they will have to think about their signs. The measuring rod and the word at which everything has to be measured is the Holy Scripture. I read you something else from 2 Peter chapter 2. Here the Apostle Peter foretold the last days and writes as follows, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Verse 3, listen closely. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You should once experience 40 to 45 minutes where it is only spoken about money. Who gives 15,000? Who gives 10,000? Who gives 5,000? And it went on like this. And on and on. And then it came to the point. He who has no money, he shall write out a check. And he who has no check, let him give his banking details. You will not believe it. And then on one day, 30,000 pounds come together. That's exactly 90,000 Deutschmark. And this is not enough. They continue to collect and they do everything they can to plug it. And they play on one's heartstrings. Everything is presented, big programs. And the people give their last. They are made poor for a whole year. Here it is written, driven by covetousness, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You can really not believe it, of all what is going on there. in a meeting, not a single time it was read from the Holy Scripture. About this, one doesn't have to marvel anymore. No. Once again, I say today, thanks be to God, who revealed unto us His Word and made known unto us His will. We believe that the days of the apostles return. No apostle needs to beg for money. The believers laid it before their feet what was necessary. And Brother Branham says in one sermon, if I should beg for money, I would not preach anymore. And he says, listen to me. God will take you to account who you make a business with your gift and ministry at the last judgment. Here on earth, we may come through with some things, but then not anymore. This same Peter writes here, in the same chapter, 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 15, maybe even from verse 13 or 14, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, an heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. In Jude we can read, who desired the wages of divination. There are true servants of God and there are false ones. A true servant of God will trust the Lord for everything what is necessary and will speak with no man about it. It is God's matter at which we stand, and until today He has taken care and will take care forevermore. I say it now for the third or fourth time today. God has made me in the past weeks and days more thankful. He subjected me to self-examination, and I could say with a thankful heart, what a privilege it is to serve you, the living God, with all my heart and with all my soul, without thinking on oneself, but to stand at the matter of God. Certainly, we not only have made this assessment, but we see that the one or the other can nothing for the way which he walks. It is manifested whose children we are. Let us summarize. If God intends to do something on earth, then he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. He had a Noah, a Moses, an Abraham, an Elijah. He had many, a John the Baptist. He had John on the Isle of Patmos. He has sent his servants at all times. Those who are then called out by him, they come into a covenant relationship with him. He makes a contract with us. Yes, he made it on Calvary. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. We have a new covenant with all promises. And to it belongs also the prophetic part. All who are laid out by God, they may experience that God won't let you starve to death, also not in the wilderness. That God gives you food. That God gives you drink. That God clothes you from head to toe. We may experience the faithfulness of God. Whether our journey is for 10, 20, 30, 40, or should last for more years. The Lord promised to be with us all the days until the end of the world. He promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Until today, He has kept His word. Hallelujah. Until today, He has taken care for us in a fatherly way. We received spiritual food, strong food, fresh, living manna from God. I was in this room early today, and I looked on the book table. How many sermons are available? How we can deepen ourselves in it and eat over and again, being strengthened on the inward man. God has taken care richly and fatherly. He took care. It's nothing moldy, nothing out of date, but ordained by God for this time and revealed to His people by the message of this hour. Also for this, we are grateful with all our hearts. Now we can discern and take our stand. The Lord said, I have come for a division into this world, that those who see get blind, but those who see not, no, the other way around, becoming seeing. What was it? The scribes, they thought they see and hear and so forth, but they didn't. I give you today the key. It's the key of the word. All who listen to the teaching of the false prophet and who believe it and who remain in it, they will reject the prophets sent from God and they will be against them. It's the same the other way around. All who are pardoned by God and receive the word of prophecy up into our time and let it become a divine revelation in their heart, they are on the side of God and they will reject what the false prophet and all the false prophets proclaim. For the one excludes the other. One cannot mix the divine. The Lord separated light from darkness and gave to the light the name day, and darkness He called night. And Peter writes, ye are not in darkness. Paul writes it also, ye are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. No, ye have become children of light. And Jesus said, walk in the light as long as you have the light. It should become light at evening time, and it has become light. Peter sets it forth. We have a more sure word of prophecy that shines like a bright light in a dark place. So, God sends His servants and prophets and requires His people to come out. And then comes the message with all might. Let My people go, that they may serve me. We cannot remain behind in all the various camps and then serve God. No, the Lord determined a place. It was the mountain that he determined for it. And you all know, when the people then reached Mount Sinai, God spoke with them in a very mighty way. After our leading out, we are brought together with God. We hear his precious and holy word, and we respond to it. We take to heart what he said unto us, and then walk on by faith. Let my people go, the people with whom God made a covenant. As we read at the beginning, God does nothing unless he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Beloved, I am grateful to God, grateful with all my heart, that he proved himself to be the same in this time, to the sorrow of the scribes and Pharisees, to the joy for the blood-bought multitude, to the joy for the redeemed and elect. For when they hear the word of God, then their heart rejoices. Then they, like Mary and Zacharias, can glorify and praise the Lord in the Spirit. Like also then the children, when the Lord entered Jerusalem. Entering Jerusalem, Hosanna unto him who comes in the name of the Lord. Maybe I would like to say one more thing on this occasion. It was a black brother in America. He preached about the event when our Lord entered Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. Then he made a comparison and said the Lord God was riding on some kind of donkey. He used some kind of servants to bring a word of the Lord. And then he came out with it and said that the donkey was mistaken. If the donkey thought the jubilation was meant for him. Did you all listen? There was great jubilation, but the donkey should not have meant that the jubilation is for him. So, even if God uses the greatest man, the praise and worship and the glory belong to no one. The Lord has said he has need of it and will send it back soon. The praise and worship belongs to the Lord alone. And also here we can clearly distinguish. Thankful we are for all the servants and prophets whom the Lord used, whom he could use so wonderfully. But the praise and the worship belong to our God from eternity to eternity. And we don't want to be called by anyone as being followers of Paul or of Peter, and also not called by anyone as followers of Branham. For verily, such people do not exist in our midst. Here are only people who follow the Lord and who are grateful for every ministry which God has given by grace. Amen? Amen. And also for this, we are grateful that God has given us this discernment. I hope that we in this hour became more grateful for that what God has given to us, and that it has been kept for us in all clarity. And this trust I have towards God, He will keep us until the end in this divine clarity. He knows our longing. He holds us and says, nobody will pluck them out from my hand. My Father is stronger than all. Blessed and praised be the wonderful name of our Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and thank briefly the Lord. He has let us know through whom He spoke. Yes, who brought His word to bring us back into the original state in which the church was at the beginning, and to thus create the condition for the restoration. He has given us grace to feed upon the hidden manna, and we may discern between what people are doing in pious programs and between that what God is doing now according to His word and according to His plan among His people. We have heard His call. We believe Him and His prophets, not some kind of prophet, His prophets, who knew Him in truth, who preached His word in truth. We have an inner agreement to it. Should there still be some in our midst today who didn't come yet to a total breakthrough, who have not yet received absolute clarity, dear heart, what shall God still do to make it more clear and more true? What shall He still do, and how shall He confirm before we will believe it? He who came down in the pillar of fire and cloud, in the light, who spoke and who led us back to Himself, He is here today and speaks to every heart. We are not dealing with a man, just as we read. We are not following a prophet, not a preacher, not any evangelist. Lord, we have come to follow You. You say even today, follow Me. You didn't say to anyone he should follow Peter or Paul. You said, follow Me. Faithful Lord, we ask You together that You may help all who are still in an inner conflict to make the right decision. To believe You should be easy, for You are credible. We thank You for it. Your word is clear to them to whom You revealed it. Together we lay them before You. Yes, all of us who we are here today, and all who will hear this tape, whether here in Switzerland, whether in Germany, whether in Austria, everywhere, wherever the tapes may come, Lord, you know your own. Be nigh to them. Say to them, I take care for you. I am with you. You will not lack anything, neither food nor drink. I am in your midst. Follow me. O faithful God, we are joined with everyone through whom you spoke, by your word and by your spirit. We have been brought into conformity with your word. Lord, we thank you for it. May it now be confirmed, today, at this place, that you are still the same, and that your word does not return void. Save the lost. Grab them on the deep inside of their soul, O Lord. Pull them out like a piece of wood out of the fire. Heal the sick. Reveal to them that they were healed already when you were smitten and bruised on the cross. Lord, because of our sin, you have shed your blood to redeem us, to reconcile us, and to give us forgiveness. You were smitten and bruised on your body to thus bear our iniquities, so that we, by your stripes, were healed. Lord, we thank you for it. May now living faith in the living God be manifested, and may the right hand of the Lord give to the people of God the victory. Hallelujah. Lord, and even more, all who are in doubt, who are tossed to and fro by some kind of tattle that eats as a cancer and that destroys people inwardly and outwardly. Beloved Lord, may you be merciful to your people, and may you give a circumcised tongue, O Lord, that we are penetrated by your divine fire and proclaim the great deeds of God. Faithful Lord, from the depth of our soul and with deep gratitude, we are here today thanking you for the great privilege that we didn't fall prey to some kind of man who is out for deception and misleading, but that we have heard your true and clear word from a holy mouth, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you together from the bottom of our hearts, in Jesus' holy name. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.